Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Yomim by Avraham Goldreyer and today Maseches Kedushin Daf Yud Gimel, the first parak Ha'isha Niknes. The Zichu Maseches Kedushin program has been generously sponsored as a schutz for Hachazakas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara relates that a man once stole ribbons from a woman, and when she asked for them, he responded, "Yahiv Nalich Mukidashtili, if I give them to you, will you be married to me?" She accepted them and was silent. Rav Nachman wrote that she can say, "In shakli vididi shakli." Yes, I took them, but I took that which was mine and did not accept them as kedushin. He was challenged from a brisa which taught that if someone marries a woman with stolen goods, or shechatav sel miyadav v'kidsha, or he grabbed a selah from her hand and married her with it, mekudeshes, she is married. The Gemara answers, "Hasim bid shadich." There, the brisa is discussing a case where he discussed marriage with her and she agreed. In such a case, her silence is taken as consent to allow the stolen items to become his, and she accepts them from him as kedushin. This distinction is proven from a brisa. Point number two, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, "Kol she'eino yodei b'tiv gittin v'kedushin." Anyone who does not know the laws of gittin and kedushin, lo yeh lo esek mehen, should have no involvement in them. Rav Yochanan added, "V'koshen l'olam yosim edor hamabul," and those who involve themselves with the L qualification are worse for the world than the generation of the flood. This is based on a pasuk which Rav Yosef explained to refer to people having children from other people's wives, about which it says that because of this sin, the land and all its inhabitants would be destroyed, including the fish of the sea. V'yu b'dor ha'mabul, whereas in the generation of the flood, when nigzer al-gezer al-dogim shebiyam, the decree of destruction was not decreed upon the fish of the sea, as the pasuk says, "Mikol sheb b'charav ha'mesu," all that was on dry land died, as opposed to the fish. And pointing with you, two disputes are recorded which revolve around if shibuda daraisa, the obligation of a person's property, is beholden to a debt, biblically, requiring payment after his death. A Mishnah states about a woman who gave birth who brought her requisite chatas, but died before bringing her ola, that her heirs must bring her ola. Shmuel qualifies as v'hushi fishata mechayim. It only applies where she designated an ola while she was still living, but if she did not, her heirs do not bring an ola. The Gemara deduces that he holds shibuda lav daraisa, the obligation on her inherited property, is not beholden biblically. Rabbi Yochanan says the heirs must bring her ola even if she did not designate one, because he holds shibuda daraisa. In the second Malchukas, Rav and Shmuel both say, "Milva al peh," regarding an oral loan without a document. "Eino gova mina yorshim lo mina hukuchos." The lender cannot collect the debtor's land from the debtor's heirs or those who purchased his property. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say that a creditor can collect from property currently owned by the heirs or purchasers. This too depends on whether shibuda daraisa or not. Both disputes needed to be recorded because one could argue the milva ksuba b'Torah, a loan written in the Torah, meaning a woman who gave birth where the Torah imposed the carbon obligations, ksuba b'shtar damya, has a stringency like a loan written in a document. Rav Papa says the halakha is shibuda daraisa, so an oral loan is collected from heirs. The purchasers, however, are exempted rabbinically. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara relates that a man once stole ribbons from a woman, and when she asked for them, he responded, "Yahiv nalich mukidashtili, if I give them to you, will you be married to me?" She accepted them and was silent. Rav Nachman wrote that she can say, "In shakli vididi shakli." Yes, I took them, but I took that which was mine and did not accept them as kedushin. He was challenged from a brisa which taught that if someone marries a woman with stolen goods, or shechatav sel miyadav v'kidsha, or he grabbed a selah from her hand and married her with it, mekudeshes, she is married. The Gemara answers, "Hasim bid shadich." There, the brisa is discussing a case where he discussed marriage with her and she agreed. In such a case, her silence is taken as consent to allow the stolen items to become his, and she accepts them from him as kedushin. This distinction is proven from a brisa. Point number two, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, "Kol she'eino yodei b'tiv gittin v'kedushin." Anyone who does not know the laws of gittin and kedushin, lo yeh lo esek mehen, should have no involvement in them. Rav Yochanan added, "V'koshen l'olam yosim edor hamabul," and those who involve themselves with the L qualification are worse for the world than the generation of the flood. This is based on a pasuk which Rav Yosef explained to refer to people having children from other people's wives, about which it says that because of this sin, the land and all its inhabitants would be destroyed, including the fish of the sea. V'yu b'dor ha'mabul, whereas in the generation of the flood, when nigzer al-gezer al-dogim shebiyam, the decree of destruction was not decreed upon the fish of the sea, as the pasuk says, "Mikol sheb b'charav ha'mesu," all that was on dry land died, as opposed to the fish. And pointing with you, two disputes are recorded which revolve around if shibuda daraisa, the obligation of a person's property, is beholden to a debt, biblically, requiring payment after his death. A Mishnah states about a woman who gave birth who brought her requisite chatas, but died before bringing her ola, that her heirs must bring her ola. Shmuel qualifies as v'hushi fishata mechayim. It only applies where she designated an ola while she was still living, but if she did not, her heirs do not bring an ola. The Gemara deduces that he holds shibuda lav daraisa, the obligation on her inherited property, is not beholden biblically. Rabbi Yochanan says the heirs must bring her ola even if she did not designate one, because he holds shibuda daraisa. In the second Malchukas, Rav and Shmuel both say, "Milva al peh," regarding an oral loan without a document. The lender cannot collect the debtor's land from the debtor's heirs or those who purchased this property. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say that a creditor can collect from property currently owned by the heirs or purchasers. This too depends on whether she booted the raisa or not. Both disputes needed to be recorded because one could argue the milva ksuba b'torah, alone written in the Torah, meaning a woman who gave birth where the Torah imposed the carbon obligations, ksuba b'shtar damya, has a stringency like a loan written in a document. Rapapa says the halakha is shibuta daraisa, so an oral loan is collected from heirs. The purchasers, however, are exempted rabbinically. All right, so now we get our simmer daf yud gimel, and our standard simmer is a bar mitzvah boy. A bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy standing at the diamond-shaped pulpit, who was shocked when a man stole a ribbon from a girl and then handed it to her for kedushin, wisely refused to get involved because he wasn't qualified and it would be worse than bringing a mabul, and shared that he had plans to bring the olah for his late mother because she buta daraisa and she died after bringing her chatas. Once again, it's lamotion. The bar mitzvah boy, bar mitzvah boy, that must mean we're on daf yud gimel. The bar mitzvah boy standing at the diamond-shaped pulpit, who was shocked when a man stole a ribbon from a girl and then handed it to her for kedushin, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once stole ribbons from a woman, and when she asked for them, he responded, "If I give them to you, will you be married to me?" She accepted them and was silent. But Nachum ruled that she can say, "Ein shakli v'didi shakli." Yes, I took them, but I took that which was mine and did not accept them as kedushin. So the bar mitzvah boy standing at the diamond-shaped pulpit, who was shocked when a man stole a ribbon from a girl and then handed it to her for kedushin, wisely refused to get involved because he wasn't qualified, and it would be worse than bringing a mabul, which reminds Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, "Kol she'enu yadei b'tiv gittin v'kedushin," anyone who does not know the laws of gittin and kedushin, lo yehelu esek imahen, should have no involvement in them. Rav Yochanan added, "V'kashin lo'om yosim edor ha'mabul," and those who involve themselves without qualification are worse for the world than the generation of the flood. So the bar mitzvah boy standing at the diamond-shaped pulpit, who was shocked when a man stole a ribbon from a girl and then handed it to her for kedushin, wisely refused to get involved because he wasn't qualified, and it would be worse than bringing a mabul, and shared that he had plans to bring the olah for his late mother because she buta daraisa and she died after bringing her chatas. Which reminds us, two disputes were recorded which revolve around if she buta daraisa, the obligation of a person's property, is beholden to a debt biblically requiring payment after his death. A Mishnah states about a woman who gave birth who brought her requisite chatas, but died before bringing her olah, that her heirs must bring her olah. Shmuel qualifies this, it only applies where she designated an olah while she was still living. But if she didn't, her heirs do not bring an olah. The Gemara deduces that he holds she buta love daraisa. The obligation on her inherited property is not beholden biblically. Rabbi Yochanan says the heirs must bring her olah even if she did not designate one, because he holds shibuta daraisa. So once again, the bar mitzvah boy standing at the diamond-shaped pulpit, who was shocked when a man stole a ribbon from a girl and then handed it to her for kedushin, wisely refused to get involved because he wasn't qualified and it would be worse than bringing a mabul, and shared that he had plans to bring the olah for his late mother because shibuta daraisa and she died after bringing her chatas. All right, so now it's time for four blah chazara. Daf Tes. So the simmer Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The pot who was distraught when the girl's father gave him back the broken teapot chart. Teapot? That must be one Daf Tes. The potter who was distraught when the girl's father gave him back the broken teapot shard, studded with fake worthless diamonds, that the potter inscribed with the words, "Your daughter's mukadesh is to me," which reminds us, a braisa teaches how kedushin is performed with a shtar. Kasav al-hanyar al-acheres, if he wrote for the girl's father on a paper or on a pottery shard, afo pishem boshav apruta, even though it's not worth a pruta, bitcha mukadeshesli, "Your daughter's married to me," or another declaration of kedushin, it's effective. This is in contrast to a document of sale, where it's a seller who writes the shtar. So, the potter who was distraught when the girl's father gave him back the broken teapot shard, studded with fake, worthless diamonds, that the potter inscribed with the words, "Your daughter's mukudesh is to me," and was told it wasn't good because it was written, lo lishma, and without her consent, which reminds us, we learn from the hekush of gittin to kedushin that the shtar kedushin must also be written lishma. There's machlokes if it must be given with her consent. So the potter was distraught when the girl's father gave him back the broken teapot shard, studded with fake worthless diamonds, that the potter inscribed with the words, "Your daughter's mukudesh is to me," and was told it wasn't good because it was written, lo lishma, and without her consent, didn't bother to show the father the other teapot he had just finished, painted with the words, Bulas Baal, which reminds us, the Gemara asks for the source that relations can affect kedushin. Rabbi Avoh quoted Rabbi Yochanan as darshining a pasuk, Bulas Baal, a woman who had relations with a man. Melamed shenasul Baal yidei be'ila. This teaches that he becomes her husband through relations. Daf Yud. So the simmer Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. After the minion of Yidden, that must be more on Daf Yud. After the minion of diamond dealers with diamond stud toresim all agreed that it's sof bia, not chilas bia, that affects kedushin, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, chilas bia kona, does the beginning of the act of relations acquire for kedushin, or sof bia kona, or does the end of the act of relations acquire? It brings two nafkaminas. A Maimer course rubs a conclusion, ko el boel, anyone who has relations, dato al gemar bia, his mind is on the completion of relations, and that is the time kedushin will take effect. So, after the minion of diamond dealers with diamond stud talesim all agreed that it's sof bia, not chilas bia, that affects kedushin, they got so involved in the hita machlokas whether bia for kedushin also affects nesuin, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, bia nesuin osa, do relations done for kedushin affect nesuin as well, or erison osa, or do they only affect erison? The nafkaminas are the three halachas that come into effect after nesuin, liyorsha, to inheritor, latamila, to become tummy for her burial, if he's a Kohen, ulahafir nindareh, and to avoid her nadarim. So after the minion of diamond dealers with diamond studded talesim all agreed that it's sopia, not chilas bia, that affects kedushin, they got so involved in nehida machokas, whether bia for kedushin also affects nesuin, that they didn't notice the sadder rusa del Kohen after relations sitting at the table who wasn't permitted to eat truma, which reminds us the more it brings about chokas, why an arusa of a Kohen after relations cannot eat truma. Daf Yud Av. So the Siman Daf Yud Av is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The girl standing under the diamond-shaped stars at night, stars, that must be on Daf Yud Av. The girl standing under the diamond-shaped stars at night refused to accept Kesef Kedushin less than a dinar, which reminds us that this daf primarily discusses reasons Rabbi Shammai's ruling that Kedushin with money requires a dinar. Rabbi Zera offers the first explanation, Isha Makpedes Alatzma, a woman is particular regarding herself, Ein Miskadeshes Bepachas Medinar, and doesn't agree to become married for less than a dinar. Beishamai is not discussing a case where a woman would stretch out her hand and accept even less than a dinar. Rather, he's referring to where the woman did not see the money given to her because she accepted it at night or appointed a shaliach to accept kedushin for her, in which case Beishamai assumes that a woman does not consent to kedushin for less than a dinar. So the girl standing under the diamond-shaped stars at night refused to accept kesef kedushin less than a dinar, was thrilled when she saw a young man approach with some kesef tzuri, which reminds us, Rav Yosef explains Beis Shammai's ruling based on the statement of Rabasi, Kol kesef ha'amru b'Torah kesef tzuri, any kesef mentioned the Torah refers to Tyrian currency, v'shal divrayim kesef medina, and any kesef mentioned by the rabbis refers to provincial currency. Tyrian currency was made from pure silver and didn't have a pruta, which is from copper. Since the Torah required a silver coin for kedushin by indicating kesef, it's understood that a coin of significant value is required, which Beis Shammai interprets to be a dinar. So the girl standing under the diamond-shaped stars at night who refused to accept kesef kedushin less than a dinar was thrilled when she saw a young man approach with some kesef tzuri, who was accompanied by his ami Ivriya he purchased for a dinar. Which reminds us, Reish Lakish explains that Beis Shammai derives the minimum amount for kedushin from the minimum amount for the sale of an ami Ivriya, a Jewish maidservant, which is a dinar. Daf Yud Beis. So the Siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. Six of the diamond brothers, six brothers and another six, 12 brothers all together? That must be more in Daf Yud Beis. Six of the diamond brothers were so busy worrying that the date a man gave their sister for kedushin was worth a shabaprut and madav, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once gave a woman a date for kedushin, and Shmuel ruled that even if an entire core of dates is only worth a dinar and a single date is less than a pruta, she's considered married. Chayshin Shem and shabaprut and madai were concerned that perhaps it's worth a pruta and madai where dates are less available. So, six of the diamond brothers were so busy worrying that the date a man gave their sister for kedushin was worth a shabaprutah and madai, and the other six brothers were distracted telling the mother of the man who was makadosher with a blue stone the day earlier that they don't believe her, that it was worth a shabaprutah, which reminds us, a man once married a woman with a blue stone and another man married her afterwards. Rav Chista evaluated the stone to see if it was worth a prut to determine if she was married to the first or second man. After Rav Chista determined that the stone was not worth a prutah and she was married to the second man, the first man's mother told Rav Chista that the stone was worth a prutah on the day of the kedushin. Rav Chista responded, Lev kol kaminach da asras la basva, is not within your ability to prohibit her to the second man through your testimony. So, six of the diamond brothers were so busy worrying that the date a man gave their sister for kedushin was worth a shavaprut and madai, and the other six brothers were distracted telling the mother of the man who was makadosh with the blue stone the day earlier that they don't believe her, that it was worth a shavaprut, that they didn't notice that their other sister sat in silence after a man told her she should become mukadeshes with the four zuz wrapped in the hadasim he gave her earlier. Which reminds us, a man once married a woman with a mat of hadasim. When he was told it was worth less than a prut, he responded, let her become married with the four zuz wrapped inside it. She kept the money and was silent. Rava said, Havishtikusa de lacher matamaos. The case is silence after money was given. Bekosh tikusa de lacher matamaos lav kumhi. And any silence after money is given is meaningless and does not constitute consent. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which of the Rav Chisda tell a mother of a man who is mekadosh a woman with a blue stone worth less than a pruta that it's not within her ability to prohibit a woman to a second man through her testimony? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number two, which stuff do you learn that anyone who does not know the halachos of Gittin and Kedushin should have no involvement in them? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number three, which stuff we have Malchus, why an arusa to a kohen is not permitted to Truma? That's on Daf Yud. Good. Number four, which stuff do we have Rav Yosef's explanation on based Shammai's ruling that it's based on the fact that Kesef in the Torah is referring to Kesef Tzuri, which is silver and has significant value? That's on Daf Yidav. Good. Number five, which of the one Rabbi Baal learns that the source that Bia affects Kedushin is from the Pasuk of Bu'ulas Baal? That's on Dav Tes. Good. Number six, which Dafi Malchus, if Shibuda the Raisa, if the obligation of a person's property is beholden to a debt biblically requiring payment after his death, such as bringing a mother's Ola after she already brought a Chatas? That's on Dav Yod Gimel. Good. Number seven, which of the one kosh tikusa l'dachar matamaos lav kumhi? Any silence after money was given is meaningless and does not constitute consent. That's on Daf Yod Beis. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we have the question whether a man can be mekadosh a woman with an item he stole from her? That's on Daf Yod Gimel. Good. Number nine, which stuff the Shmuel rule that if a man was mekadosh a woman with a single date, we have to be concerned that it's worth a pruta and madai? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. And number 10, which is the one a man can say to a woman, become mekudeshes to half of me, but he can't say to the woman, half of you should be mekudeshes to me? That's on Daf Zion. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.